Yes, we're back for another week NRL Live. This is episode 40. We're going to talk about the Parramatta Eels. They were hammered last week. Now the woes of last year creeping in. Meanwhile, the Saints and the Warriors got their first wins of the year. Are we too tough on coaches who aren't performing? Supercoach ins and outs. RMS is going to go into detail about the front row forward, and I've got a beauty of a world of sport for you also. Pete's with us as always. How are you, mate?
Very good, thank you. How are you?
Good, good, good. And RMS, of course. How are you?
How are you going?
Well, guys, let's get straight into it. The games from last week. The Seagulls 26 thrashing the West Tigers nothing. The Rabbitohs 17 against a Ben Barber returned Bulldogs 12. The Storm 32 overcame fast finishing Broncos 26. The Dragons 25 winning the local derby against the Sharks 12. The Titans 28 far too strong for the Panthers 10, while the Knights 28 defeated the Raiders 12. And two games on the Easter Monday, the Warriors 20 defeating the Cowboys 18 in a close one, and the Roosters 50-0 over the Eels. And Pete, Parramatta, I mean, they just look like they've gone right back to where they were last year.
It does, doesn't it? That win against the Warriors in round one seemed a long, long time ago. To be fair to the Eels, you know, it is a new coach, a couple of new players in there, but they did come up against an absolutely red-hot Sonny Bill Williams-inspired Roosters on Monday night. But I think it still might be a very, very long season for Parramatta fans. The effort is there. I think Ricky's happy with the effort of the players. And according to the commentators the other night, I was listening to the match and watching the match. Commentators said the effort was there, but just the skill level, they just simply do not have the cattle, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, I guess, like you were saying earlier, that, you know, when you take the side that came last year and you lose two of their best players in Nathan Hindmarsh and Luke Burt, you know, it, just new coach or not, it's going to be a long road to recovery.
It does make you wonder about their recruitment also. Like Hindmarsh should have been getting a lot, and I would have thought Burt was, and they've replaced them, with all due respect, with Darcy Lussick and Daniel Harrison. So there must be some cash left over in the funds out there somewhere at Parramatta.
We spoke about it last year that there were some issues overlying, but I think another issue Tigers are missed is players simply don't want to go there. Josh Papali reneged on a deal, so it seemed, to stay with the Raiders, and Robbie Farah turned his back on Parramatta to re-sign with the Tigers, while Luke Lewis potentially could have gone there but instead went to the Sharks. It seems like that list is ever growing of guys that would simply go elsewhere.
Yeah, look, I think the main fix for that is for the team to start winning, basically. Mm. Everyone wants to go to a successful club, and Parramatta just do not project that at the moment. I said at the start of the year I thought they'd be improved, but they wouldn't make the eight, and it's looking like that. Like, honestly, they are playing better, despite getting hammered by 50. They're still playing better than they were last year. That's not saying much, though.
It isn't. And the way we're looking at it after this week is the two teams that were pretty distant last and second last last year will be the same two teams this year, unfortunately, for the two teams in the West.
Well, that's right. And to be honest, you can't do a whole lot in your first season as a coach in terms of recruitment. You might be able to snag one or two. They are getting... Apuari, when he comes back from his mission. Maybe things are on the improve, but they do have to... I mean, I know it's a simple thing and it's a lot easier said than done, but just start winning and a lot of issues go away.
Yeah, well, talk about issues going away. St. George, Illawarra Dragons, Pete, your team and coach... Stephen Price, he was on the hot seat. And I guess we said last week, look, we could be talking about him if they lose again. We're going to talk about him anyway, but they won. Are we too tough on coaches that, you know, don't perform straight away? Do we not give them enough time to implement their own systems, Pete?
I do agree with what you're saying there. I think we are a little bit tough on coaches early in the season. It does take time for teams to gel. The few new players there, said the Dragons lost a lot of experience in the off-season, the loss of retirements of Dean Young and Ben Hornby, and also the loss of fellow Premiership player Bo Scott.
Yeah.
This week, I have to say, they look very different, look much faster. The enthusiasm level was right up there. Nathan Fien and Soward looked like they actually had been training together this week. And there was much more fluidity, if you like, in the back line, and it looked like a happier team with Beale coming into the back line a little bit in attack and so on. The problem with the Dragons specifically in the off-season, there was talk, and it wasn't just talk that was actually happening. Steve Price was informed by the club that they were looking at Craig Bellamy for next year, which is the first time, you know, that I can remember a coach being, you know, looked at like 12 months down the track. It's not too many occupations in the world that happens in, apart from a footy coach.
it did happen with Des Hasler, of course, with the Bulldogs, and that all ended in tears, didn't it?
So, prime example.
Yeah.
But, that was the case of a coach actually sacking his club, I think, but this one is... It's certainly, and particularly a club like the Dragons, gets a lot of media attention, a lot of tradition there, and so on. And yeah, there is a lot of pressure. But I just think, and I've said to other fans, is to give the bloke, you know, 6 or 7 weeks and see how they are. Then it's been a tough start to the season, and the same with the Warriors. I have to say, I watched the game the other day against the Cowboys, and the Warriors, as we've known, as I've said for several years, have the potential to do absolutely anything, particularly off the back of Sean Johnson. Got some other great players there, Mateo. So same with the Warriors. You've just got to give Matty Elliott a bit of time. I've seen clubs start off slowly. We refer back to Parramatta in 2009, making the grand final. I've seen a couple of other Dragons teams of the past start off very, very slowly and end up doing very, very well. So I think just give them some time.
Yeah, exactly. And Tigers MS, I guess Matty Elliott, you know, just heading over to the Warriors. Is he the long-term answer there, do you think?
No, I don't think he is. I think regardless of results, he'll probably be gone in about 18 months. The players, when he first got selected, they didn't want him. Like, they came out publicly and said, we would prefer Tony Iroh.
Yes, that's right.
To Matt Elliott, which can't do your confidence as a coach any good when you first hear that, first day you rock up. I think Matt Elliott could probably get their house in order and then be moved on for a different coach when the systems are there. And there's quite a few coaches in that basket that can sort a club out, but possibly tend to outstay their welcome. Brian Smith is one of those.
I'm just thinking of that, man.
One of those guys who can build a club up, but if he stays too long, then it starts to go the other way, as history has shown us. But no, I don't think Matty Elliott will be the long-term coach for New Zealand, but he'll definitely give it everything that he's got, and it's good to see him get a very hard-fought win on the weekend.
Yeah, and Sean Johnson, Pete mentioned him. He's outstanding there on the Supercoach. And Tigers MS and I are going to go into detail about Supercoach like we do each and every week here on NRL Live a bit later on the show, so stay tuned for that. And, of course, you can download this show each and every week. We do it during the regular season. It is called NRL Live, and if you just simply type that into iTunes, you can... retrieve it. Now, we did have a few technical difficulties in the past about that, but it's all online and happening now, so that subscribe and you'll get it each and every week. Otherwise, go to the website, www.paulygsports.com. And there's other ways to get in touch with us too. There's Twitter, at @PaulyGSports, or at @TigersMS78, and of course, you can go to the Facebook page and give us a like there as well. And guys, we're going to go into next week's games, and let's have a look how the week's heading out. And I tell you what, Friday night, well, it should be an absolute humdinger of a match. The Canterbury Bulldogs versus the Manly Sea Eagles. The Dogs, of course, not only with Des Hasler there, but also Tony Williams. I think it should be a crackerjack match. And Tigers MS, which way do you think it's going to go?
Yeah, look, I'm going to go with Manly. They look pretty, early in the season, they look pretty battle-hardened defensive-wise. Tigers didn't look like scoring on Thursday night last.
No.
Did not even look like worrying it. Even when they had the ball for basically 25 straight minutes, Manly were calm, were poised and defended their line really, really well. I think it'll be tough against the Dogs. Obviously, the Dogs will have a little bit more in terms of what they can offer in attack. But I think that with what Manly have shown, I think they'll get the cash by about 2 points.
And Pete, with Ben Barber back, it really does shape as probably the game of the season so far.
Oh, absolutely. I think we might actually get to see some Manly supporters actually travel for this match. But in all seriousness, yeah, great to see Ben Barber back last week. It's going to be close. I think that the loss of Christian Inu for, I think, it's 5 weeks.
Yeah, that's a big loss.
Greg Inglis is not a good look.
And the goal kicking too.
Yes, absolutely. So it's a further weakness for the Dogs there. It's still really missing, I think, James Graham and Sam Cassiano. So I'd have to agree. I'd definitely take Manly in a close one, I'd say, by about 6 to 8 points. They're just looking a little bit more settled at the moment than the Dogs are.
Well, I'm going to go the other way, and I think the Dogs will be primed for this. They played pretty well last week without being able to get away with the 2 points, but I think they're going to be really primed for this. Expect a big game from Tony Williams. And I think Manly, although, like Tigers MS said, they were far too strong for a pretty hapless West Tigers outfit, they also dropped a lot of ball, and I think if they play like that to the Dogs, they'll lose by plenty. So I'm sure they'll play better, but I think the Bulldogs will come away with the points on that one. Gold Coast v Brisbane is the other Friday night game, and local derby. It should be a pretty good one. Tigers MS, what do you think?
I'm going for the Gold Coast in this one. I think they've shown more than the Broncos so far this season. I think their halves, I mean, the two young halves, are totally outplaying the two more experienced guys that the Broncos have.
Yeah.
And tell you what, Greg Bird is possibly having his best season to date.
He's playing well, isn't he?
Just killing it. And, Broncos will be, of course, will be without Sam Thaiday. Or tie day, as they say, because he got done tonight for touching the ref.
Yeah, and Pete, Parramatta v Cronulla on Saturday. Obviously, the Eels coming off that drubbing Monday night football. The Sharks also had a pretty bad loss. Which team is going to bounce back this week?
I think this may well be a close game, and just as a little side issue on this one, guys, Ricky Stewart, Paul Gallen apparently get on quite well, as you'd imagine. Stewart has been Gallen's coach in the past, and Paul Gallen has said he'll run nude down the Kingsway, which is down in the Shire, if they get beat by Parramatta. So that might be an interesting event. I'm sure the NRL will be absolutely delighted. With the Cronulla, with their loss the other night, they were already looking beaten, I think, when Todd Carney went off injured. But
yeah.
His loss with replacement young Chad Townsend, he's not a bad player, but for me, Cronulla without Carney around the halves don't offer a real lot there. Parramatta, on the other hand, geez, they were absolutely annihilated the other night, said by a very good Roosters team, but I think Cronulla should be too good. I'd say that Flanagan will be into them this week, and they should be just too big and too powerful for Parramatta overall. I'd say they win by about 12.
Yeah, expect a bounce-back game there for the Sharks. But you're right about Todd Carney. The longer he's out, the slimmer their chances get, because they do look half the team when he's not on the park. The Cowboys play the Panthers on the other game on that Saturday evening, and I think, unfortunately, for the Panthers, even though the Cowboys lost last week over in New Zealand, they will be far, far too good back at home. Sunday football, we may as well go back to you, Pete, because it is your St. George Illawarra Dragons. How are they going to go against the Newcastle Knights and their ex-coach Wayne Bennett and ex-players in Darius Boyd? And, Jeremy Smith, I guess, Bo Scott's not actually been selected, so that's one player that they wanted to come against.
There's a few ex-Dragons in that Newcastle team, actually. It's Darius Boyd, Alex McKinnon. Who else do we have there? Chris Houston, as you mentioned, Jeremy Smith, Neville Costigan, and Adam Cuthbertson on the bench. So there's quite a few there, even without Bowe. It should be a great match at Bogra, with both teams winning last week. The Dragons, I fancy, just at home. I think the home ground advantage will just give them that slight advantage. I find a couple of interesting selections there from Bennett, putting Anthony Quinn, who's usually a winger, in the centres. Also Alex McKinnon, who's played a bit of centre for the Dragons, but was more renowned as a replacement second row off the bench, and he's the other centre, and yet he's got Tamana Tahu at number 18, so I find that a bit of an interesting selection. But no, I think that the Dragons just at home.
And the Warriors, the South Sydney Tigers MS. Obviously, the Warriors having a win and at home again. Could they cause an upset over there?
Hell no. Souths are just unbelievable at the moment. And, I can't see them losing to anyone. I just can't. An interesting thing is here, Sam Burgess is now playing lock for the Rabbits, wow. Which I think is a really good move for him and a bad move for everyone else that they play. I can't see the Warriors beating Souths. It'll probably be closer than I suspect, but I think Souths are just playing way too well at the moment.
Yeah, the Raiders play the Roosters there on Sunday night footy. Jeez, I've enjoyed the Sunday night footy, I must say, this year so far. But I'm thinking that the Roosters down there, the way they played last week, will probably defeat a Raiders team that still looks a bit out of sorts, even though they do look better with Reece Robinson at fullback. I think no Terry Campese, and they're probably still waiting for him to return if they're going to get over the line there. So I'm going to pick the in-form Roosters side. And finally, Tigers and Miss, back to you for our team, the West Tigers. They go down to Melbourne for Monday night footy and face the Storm.
Oh, Jesus, it isn't going to be pretty. Storm, and well, basically, I say the top two teams at the moment as South Sydney and Melbourne, obviously. And I don't see anyone getting in within cooey of these teams before the representative break. So, I think Melbourne will pretty much just grind the Tigers into the ground and run away with it in the second half.
And we talked about it, we would like to talk about it a little bit. There's the Robbie Farah incident there when he got taken off the field last week. I mean, do you expect to see that again?
I hope I do not see that again, because there is a marking in a baseball scorebook that says coach's error whenever they've sent a runner and he gets tagged out or anything like that. And that on Thursday night was a coach's error. That was a bad error by Potter, and hopefully he's learned from it. He does it, and he doesn't do it again.
Bit of inexperience there, I think.
If Steve Kearney had one of those books, it would have looked like War and Peace, wouldn't it?
A lot of X's.
It'd just be, I think, coloured in solid black.
Yeah.
Well, guys, I tell you, one part of the show that has really taken off this year is the Supercoach segment. So Tigers MS and I, we're going to go into detail again, look at your ins and outs. If you were listening last week and you took my advice to take Roosters wingers, well, you'd be laughing, because both their wingers had an absolutely outstanding numbers there from Monday night. And so that's the type of stuff that we look at. We're going to look through the numbers, look at which teams might be giving up the big points this week, which players might be in for a big week, and do all that. And, of course, Tigers MS is going to go into detail about the front row forward.